Good evening. Let me welcome you on this Sunday evening to your house, and I pray the Lord bless you wherever you may be and how it's going. Hope you've had a great day of worship this morning. Hope you was able maybe to come into the body of the church, if not in your home. But thank you for attending. However we got to work out a way for us to do that, it's important for us. It is exciting to be in the building, and I know that you're not here sometimes because you have a choice. Sometimes you have to be there, but if you can make it, think about that. And I would love to worship with you, and we can feel the Spirit of God in a special way. We talked about the Lord's Day, the most important day of the week. Today is just another day in the week, but in His day and His ideas, it is the day of the week. And I hope that message will be a blessing to you, and you've enjoyed that. And you'll think about keeping that Sabbath day holy, because the Sabbath day keeps the first three commandments in line. The Sabbath day keeps us where we need to be with God, as well as with one another. So enjoy that. Tonight, I want to talk about seeing the light and becoming the light. The book of Acts is probably one of the most exciting, adventurous books you can read. I read in the New Testament. It's phenomenal. Man, it has the good and the bad and the ugly. It's got it all in there. It's got all kinds of people groups, all kinds of problems. You think coronavirus was a problem. You don't know what a problem was. You live in the book of Acts. And so all those things was in front of them, and a God with them. It's amazing how God brought them through it. So we need that light into our lives. I want to talk about seeing the light. And then the Bible says we become the light of the world. Think this before the sermon starts. Let's just judge your light. Is it a little dim light, about 30 watt? Problem with a dim light, about 30 watt, is it casts off shadows. You know, it just shadows are everywhere. So you're really not very prominent. And or maybe you're a 150-watt bulb. The problem with the 150-watt bulb, it blinds everybody. They don't even be around you because all they hear is God, 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 God. And so you're too bright. So let's think about being about a 60-watt soft white, drawing people to them with light for them to see how to be like God. So we want you to be the light of the world. And here in the book of Acts, we find out how that comes about. As we read the book of Acts, the God of this world doesn't do business like anybody in this world. He is a God that is creative. He doesn't do anything like I would do it. His ways are not my ways. That's just simple as that. That's the reason why I love studying about His ways, because at the end of the day, they're usually better. They always are better than my ways. And I don't realize it until I give in to them. And so I want you to learn about how He takes care of people's lives, how He changes lives, how He takes people who hate Him, despises Him, and He loves them to become a light. Talk about transition. It's a beautiful part of what God does. He transitions us into this light. This 30-watt bulb light is kind of where we're just not where we need to be. And this 150-watt bulb, we're not sensitive enough, but He treats us to be that light that wins the world. And so I want to help us to learn that today. I want you to take a look at a glimpse of a person that you wouldn't want to hang out. A person you wouldn't want to sit in church with. He's dangerous because, number one, he hated Christians. He was out to kill Christians on purpose. And so we take a glimpse of that guy. It's in Acts chapter 7. I want to begin to. His name is Saul. In Acts chapter 7, I want to begin reading in verse 58. Let me find that right here. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Now they stoned Stephen there. They've killed him. And Saul was there. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. This Saul guy was a big part of stoning Stephen. He was a guy that wasn't kind at all. In chapter 8, I want to read to you. Now Saul was consenting to the death at the time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea, except the apostles. Let me share this with you. The Jerusalem church was growing so big, thousands were coming, but God was interested in a world, not just a city. And so he had to get them out of the city. And you know what happened? They stoned Stephen, and when the Christians seen Christians getting killed, they all took off. Could have been Baptists, but they all took off for their own sake. But in return, it took Christianity to the world. And so Saul, in the process of killing this Stephen, this deacon, it enabled God to use it in a big way. But Saul was an evil man. He says in verse 2, a devout man carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. For as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. I'd like to have that guy in church. He went around and found all the men he could find. He dragged them out of his house and throw them in prison. He despised God. He did everything he could to destroy everything that God wanted to do. Now, in chapter 9, I want to go. It says, then Saul was breathing threats and murders against disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus so that he could be found any who were of the way, whether men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Saul says, it's getting slim pickings down here in Jerusalem. All the Christians left, so I need a permission to go out and find them on the road, and find them where they are, and drag them back. So Saul had a mission. It was a planned mission. I hated missions. He despised Christians. Now, in the story, we're going to see that God's going to do some great things with Saul, even the way he was. It's amazing how this works. The story takes us God's love. Let me remind you, God loves Saul. God loves everybody. He is a God of love. He don't have to work at it. He is love. He's natural love. He's just love all at once. He doesn't judge us by performance. He doesn't judge us by any ways. He loves us in spite of us. He loves Saul. And so God wanted Saul to see the light. He wanted Saul saved. He wants all of our family saved. He wants that disobedient child or that mate or that husband saved. He wants people saved because when they're saved, the Holy Spirit of Christ differs into our lives. It begins to produce what we can't produce on our own. It changes our words. It changes our tongue. It touches our hearts. So he wanted Saul to be light. So God sent light to Paul to become a Christian in verse 3. And as he was journeying, he came near Damascus. Suddenly a light shone round about him from heaven. So he's on the way to Damascus. Why is he going? To capture Christians and bring them back to prison in Jerusalem. That was his mission. But on his way, God showed him the light. You know, let me tell you something. Here's the difference between me and God. If I was God, I'd give him light and it'd been a bolt of lightning. I mean, that's what I'd have brought. But no, God just brought this big light, this loving light, this light of vision. And Saul was on his way. And this big light was there. So God was caring about him in a very special way. And God wanted to use Saul in the kingdom of God. Now, think about this. All the guys in the world, why would he want to pick a guy like Saul? You know what? God's ways aren't my ways. His ways are better. He knew. And so with that, God speaks to Saul in verse 4. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice from heaven saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, the New Testament church people were persecuted. Now, let me just get this down. In Jerusalem, they killed Jesus. They killed Stephen. They threw all Christians in jail. In the kingdom at this time, persecution comes with the problem or the joy of being a Christian. Today, if we were persecuted, it'd make us better. It'd make us stronger. We'd have to be real. But the persecution in the kingdom of God at that time was phenomenal for Christians. Hated them in a special way. He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you caring about all that in your life? So God sends the light to Saul. And this bright light comes. Can you imagine walking down Damascus Road and this bright light from heaven just coming? You know, and just hangs around. God's getting his attention. You know, when God gets my attention, it's usually not easy on me. He usually had to stop me, correct me, fix me to get my attention. Sometimes I just play God and don't realize how far I am from him. But he got Saul's attention. He wanted Saul to become light, so he showed him some light. So So the light was there before him. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" The Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads." He says, it's hard for you to do that. Now, I was there. I want to help you see this. God gave him light. Let me share this with you. When he heard Stephen pray, "God, forgive these people," he seen some light in that man that he'd never seen before. He saw light right there. He never realized it, but he'd never seen nothing like that. Never seen a man killed and dying, except for Jesus. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." On the same words, this deacon is declaring, "God, don't hold these people responsible." And he went into the Lord's hands. So Deacon Stephen was there. He saw his face in, let me read that in chapter 6, verse 15. So when they brought back in chapter 6, verse 15, "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face." His face was of an angel. They seen his face, Stephen's face. His face was as an angel. See, they saw the light. See, now they didn't know what it was. And now he's walking Damascus and God gave him a bright light. He sees another light. Doesn't know exactly what it is. But I'll tell you what, he's talking to Jesus. Now think about that. He hated him, despised him, cursed him. And Jesus says, "What's going on, Saul? Why are you persecuting me? I'm Jesus. It's hard for you to kick against all these pricks in your life. It's hard to do that, Saul." And then in verse 5, he talks about how he wants to just kind of give him that prick. You know how you get an ox out of the ditch? You hit him a prick. You know, you kind of poke him. You kind of poke him here, you poke him here, and you get enough poke, and that old ox will start jumping and start running. And so, see, God was just poking Saul. He's just poking him against all these pricks because he wanted Saul on the right path, the path of righteousness. He had to get him off this evil path. So he's seen the light. He saw the light from heaven. He saw the light in Stephen's eyes. It was the face of an angel. Everybody in that room who hated that man, who killed him, saw the light in his face. Now, Christian, you hang around all lost people. Have they ever seen the light in your face? Have you ever presented that? We are the light of the world. And we don't hide it under a bushel basket. We let it glow. And man, the light brings people to righteousness. In the darkness is where sin is fested. In the darkness is where life is destroyed. In the light is where we live. So Saul is now seeing the light. Everything is happening in his life in a big way. See, Saul never forgot the witness of Stephen. His pricks from his life begin to prick his heart. See, sometimes I just don't turn left when I need to turn left. Sometimes I got to be pricked. Sometimes I got to be poked. Sometimes I got to be drugged, and neither do you. But God's light is always taking us where we need to be. The biggest question in verse 6, listen to Saul. So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Don't ever ask God that question. He got a big list. He got a phenomenal list. He got a list that blow you away. So here's Saul, this guy who persecuted and hated everybody, and he needed a bolt of lightning, and God gave him a bolt of love. And then he asked the question, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Well, that's a great question. When's the last time you asked him that? When's the time you talked to God about, "What do you want me to do?" And the Lord said, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Just get up, Paul. Let's just go. Go to that city. "Yeah, I got big plans for you, Saul. You thought that you had big plans. You don't know anything about it." And then he's on his way. He must go. And then verse 8 and 9. And Saul rose from the ground. When his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight and neither ate or drank. Saul was blinded. That bright light from heaven blinded Saul physically. But his heart was opened. He was asking the right questions and he was talking to Jesus. And God had some more light for him. He had some more light for him to be part of. You talk about a tough assignment. Let me ask you a question. When is the last time God gave you a tough assignment? He passes them out daily. He passes them out daily. To love enemies, forgive those people, despise and forsake you. When's the last time God gave you a personal big assignment that you went after and did it? Think about that. You know what my life's full of? Big assignments. I'll never forget when God called me to preach. I'll never forget how hard that was. This is back when Jimmy Carter was, and the gas was $5 a gallon or whatever, and the interest rates was 20%, and couldn't get a job, and I had the best job in the world. And God asked me to be a preacher and move to Louisville, Kentucky. Back then, I was up north. I didn't want to go down there with, we called them hillbillies back then, and live in Louisville, Kentucky. It's a big assignment. And by the grace of God, my wife says, "What do you want to go, Ron?" I'm ready now. And man, it scared me to death. And I took that assignment. And from that assignment, I have been on assignment after assignment after assignment. I've been all over the world. I've been all over Russia. I've been all over Africa preaching the gospel with assignment. They always ask me, "Are you scared to go to Russia? You scared to go to Africa?" You know what I'd answer? I get past New York, I got it made. Just get past New York, I got it made. But then God stopped that. You know what I did? I went on a mission trip in New York, backyard Bible clubs in inner city New York for 2 weeks with a team in downtown New York and had the greatest revival in my life in New York City. I used to be afraid to go there. See, tough assignments. When's the last time God gave you a tough assignment? Let me just share with you. He passes them out daily. Open the Word. Read your Bible. Pray. It's amazing what he does. And so here's a tough assignment for a guy named Ananias. And there was a certain man, certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him, the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, inquire at the house of Judas, of the one of Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying." Ananias heard about the Saul of Tarsus. Every Christian in this world knows about that guy. You want me to go see him? The Saul of Tarsus? That was his assignment. You know what you call that? Faith. You think you got faith? When you have faith, you move. When you don't have faith, you're stuck. You have a committee meeting. You talk about it. And you just never do anything about it. Ananias had the toughest assignment in the whole world to go see this guy that the world was hiding from. He was a God's man. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming to him and put his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority for the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel.'" I don't know how Ananias processed that. But when you go to visit a guy who notably hated, persecuted, killed, here's what I know about Ananias. Ananias had so much faith in Jesus. He knew that Jesus could change that guy. He believed him. He said, "Ananias, I'm gonna change him. I'm gonna make him a preacher to the Gentiles." And you know what Ananias did? He didn't trust Saul. He just trusted God. And God said, "So do it." And he did it. That's amazing. That's how you answer the question. How do you do those things? You got to trust God. We don't think anything about trusting God. When we do church and some little things come our way, all of a sudden we just quit trusting everything and kind of do what's safe for us. That's just the way of the world. But Ananias, he's a hero in the story. Now, Saul gets Paul, and he does a lot of great things, but it wasn't for Ananias. And I'm sure that God had a whole bunch of people on his list to do this, but Ananias was the top of the list because Ananias trusted Jesus to do what only he could do. For I will show him many things, and he will suffer for my name's sake. Ananias went his way and entered the house, laid his hands on him. Here's what he said. Brother Saul. Now that had to be a stretch. I called him, hey, gangster, I'm here to help you. He says, brother Saul. He knew God had already seen the light. He knew that he was with God. He knew he was talking to God. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you've come, has sent me that he may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, then fell from his eyes something like scales and received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. And when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Wow, this transformation. Go to Damascus. Hated Jesus. Persecuted anything stood for Jesus. And now he's getting ready to do something that nobody could even understand. He begins to preach the name of Jesus. He begins to preach the love of Jesus. You know why Paul could preach the love of Jesus? Because God loved him at his worst moment. God loved him in his evil days. And Paul never got over it. Paul never quit. Paul wouldn't stop. He just went to the Gentiles when everybody else in town, all the Christians, all the Jews hated him. Because Paul knew what God did to him, he could do to anybody. And so now here's Paul. He's carrying the mail. In verse 20, immediately he preached Christ to the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. Then all that heard were amazed, said, is this not who destroyed those who called in the name of Jerusalem, in his name of Jerusalem? And he's sent here for that purpose, so that he might bring and bound them to the chief priests. And Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. It's amazing how God does business. How God works. How God never gives up on nobody. It's amazing. Let's put this in perspective. God knows Saul. He wanted him saved. He sent him the light through Stephen. He sent him physical light on the road to Damascus. And he sent him the light of Ananias. All Saul was surrounded by was light. That sure helps the cause. The cause because Christ wants to change the world and make us all light. He's seen light everywhere he went. We need to be the light of the journey. See, once we see the light enough in the journey, we become light. Paul began to preach Christ, and they were amazed how God could take that man and to preach his love and his forgiveness. We live in a world today that is upside down in so many ways. And God's looking for light. He's looking for light from your life to your children's life. He's looking light for everywhere because we're the light of the world. And the light brings presence of God everywhere we go. They seen it in Stephen's face like an angel. Ananias. The first thing Paul saw after he was blind was Ananias. What did he see? More light. Light brought him there. It's amazing how God does, what he wants to do to us. In the book of Acts, earlier, there was Deacon Philip in Jerusalem having a big revival, and there was this chariot going across the desert, a eunuch, a Gentile. And what did he do? Philip, he chased down that chariot, and he was reading the book of Isaiah, and he couldn't understand it. And he said, let me tell you what that means. And that eunuch was saved. That's weird. See how God did this in the book of Acts? God was concerned about that Gentile that wasn't even respected there in his own city, a eunuch, and God sent him. I'll tell you this. I'm not for sure, but after this eunuch was saved in his chariot, I believe he put a sign on the back of it as he went through the desert. Honk if you love Jesus. Oh, if you love Jesus. I bet you that guy, he was so excited because that deacon shared Jesus with him and he found Jesus, found he could be saved. With all of his problems, he was saved. There was Stephen, stoned. In the middle of all of that, doing things for Christ. They were light into a dark path. Now, we're in a dark path in America. We're in a dark path in our churches. Our light has been under a bushel basket, maybe, more than it needs to be, for far too many. There's a lot of bright lights out there. A lot of people doing the right things. There's a lot, but boy, there's a lot of darkness. We need your help. I need for you to consider, what is your assignment? I need for you to consider, who are you going to pray for? Who are you going to love the unlovable? When are you going to do the work of an evangelist? When are you going to try to do something great for Christ? When are you getting tired of just doing nothing and thought nothing was right? God help us. Read the book of Acts. You wake up in the morning saying, yes, sir, I'm ready to report for duty. What can I do for you today, Jesus? It'll change your day. You may work the same job, but you'll bring light to the story, and that changes the world. Never forget it. You are the light of the world. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for your grace, and for your grandeur, and for your privilege, and for your hope. Do something all of our lives. In this darkness, bring light to us. Make it about a 60-watt soft light. Use us to change our world, our families, our communities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.